Cam found out that group chats between different phones aren't private.
Or encrypted.
Or encrypted, thank you. We only text in code.
Yes, which I created. I created a code.
Yes. Which can be a little annoying.
Wait, was that your attempt at the code?
You already forgot the code, didn't you?
I should have written it down.
The place to safely send messages between different devices. WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Before we begin, we would like to thank 6 Point Builders for their support of our show. 6 Point Builders are builders of fine custom homes in the Boston metropolitan area. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Revolution Recap. We have another pre-cap episode for you this week. First, Andy will tell you everything you need to know about this weekend's game against Columbus. And then after that, Seth Maycomber of the Blazing Musket will be talking to Devin Kerr of Apple TV to also get you ready for this weekend's game. Before we get to that, we want to tell you about our sponsors over at BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all of your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right all the way to the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And when the game is over, head on over to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with over 150 slots games. So head over to the website today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That is promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. And by the way, before we get into the interview and the preview of this weekend's match, we want to send a special happy birthday wish over to Andy Judd, our own Andy Judd. It turns out his birthday is 2 days before mine, so we're both celebrating birthdays this week. So I'm not the only one celebrating their birthday at Applebee's. So happy birthday to Andy. Also, one more note, we didn't realize this before we posted our last episode, but this previous episode from last weekend was actually our 400th episode of Revolution Recap. So we just wanted to pause and say thank you to all the listeners that have been supporting us along the way. We wanted to say thank you also to Believe. We wanted to say thank you to Seth Maycomber and the Blazing Musket for supporting us and helping us produce extra content. And of course, we want to thank our other sponsors and partners, 6 Point Builders, Subchuck Law, and The Rebellion for all their support over the years. It certainly wouldn't be possible without them. So with all that being said, we'll get into our pre-cap and then we'll go over to Seth Maycomber for the interview.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another midweek Revolution pre-cap preview. This week, I'm going to be taking you through this weekend's matchup between the New England Revolution and the Columbus Crew. It's me, Andy Judd, hosting for this segment, and we have a lot to discuss about this game, so let's get right into it. The game will be played this Saturday on June 29th at 7:30 p.m. It's a home game for the Revs, so it will be played at Gillette Stadium. They will be playing against the Columbus Crew, last season's MLS Cup winners. A very good team, no doubt. They have, in 2024, 8 wins, 6 draws, and 3 losses on the season so far. Good for 1.76 points per game. They're sitting at 5th place in the Eastern Conference currently, but with games in hand on a points per game basis, they are actually in 3rd place in the Eastern Conference. They've scored 29 goals so far this season while allowing just 17 at the other end of the field. And they are 4 wins, 3 draws, and 2 losses on the road. So they're no slouches on the road either. In their last five matches, they have won four times, and they have lost one time with no draws. I will note that that one loss came at Miami. I think a lot of people understand Miami is a tough team to beat this year, but I think that game was without Messi. So take that for what you will. Their most recent game was a 4-0 drubbing of Sporting Kansas City. That game took place in Columbus, the home game for them. So very solid output, 4-0 in their most recent game. So, you know, they're on a bit of a roll here, 4 wins in their last five, and kind of cruising after what was a hot start, but then kind of a so-so middle portion of this first half of the season. While they were kind of juggling MLS play with CONCACAF Champions Cup. New England, for their parts, are 6 wins, 1 draw, 10 losses, but a lot of those wins have come recently for those paying attention. They're sitting on 1.12 points per game, and they are currently in 12th place in the Eastern Conference. On points per game, I should mention they are in 9th place in the Eastern Conference. So slightly better. Like Columbus, they have games in hand on the teams around them. They have struggled to score so far this season, although they've had a little bit more success with that recently. They have 17 goals scored, and they have 30 goals against. So almost kind of the opposite of what the Crew have. The Crew have 29-4, 17 against. The Revs have 17-4, and 30 against. So kind of have had opposite trajectories in the 2024 season. In their at home, I should say, the Revs are 3 wins, 1 draw, and 5 losses. So they have been far from perfect at home, but they have won their two most recent home games. So they will be feeling maybe a little bit of confidence there. We'll see about that. In their last five overall, the Revs are 4 wins, 0 draws, and 1 loss. I mentioned two of those four wins were at home. Most recently, their most recent one was against Cincinnati. That was on the road, but they did have a few good wins at home as well. Their loss in that stretch came against New York City FC. That was at home. It was a 1-0 result versus NYCFC. Let's dig into a few stats and maybe the team's play style while we're at it. The Columbus Crew kind of play the ideal version of possession heavy, you know, break other teams down with the ball soccer. If you look at all the possession metrics, they are at or near the top. All the passing metrics, they are at or near the top. They are very efficient at keeping the ball. They are very efficient at moving the ball side to side, and they are absolutely lethal when it comes to moving the ball in behind and finding some of their more potent attackers. They have 59.6% average possession. That's the highest in MLS. If you break that down as to where that possession happens on the field, they have a 49% or higher percent possession in every zone of the field except for zones 14 and 17. Zone 14 is right at the top of your opponent's penalty area, and then zone 17 is in your opponent's penalty area, you know, where goalkeepers normally take their goal kicks, where you would expect the defending team to be playing with possession more comfortably. So everywhere else on the field, they have 49% possession or higher. So that just gives you a sense of how dominant they are, not just in their half or not just in the attack, but all over. They have the third most passes per sequence in MLS. They have the fourth slowest direct speed. So they are a team that likes to possess the ball and be a little bit more methodical in their buildup. They generate 1.38 non-penalty expected goals per 90. So that's not quite the highest. It's about middle of the pack, 12th highest in the league. In terms of passing, they attempt the most short passes per game. They attempt the most medium length passes per game as defined by FBref. But they do also, counterintuitively, or maybe not counterintuitively, attempt the fewest long passes per 90. So they are, you know, they're moving the ball efficiently. They are moving the ball in the short and medium distances, and they are not booting the ball long very often. They have 3.94 shots on target against per 90. That's the fourth fewest in MLS. So they are using that possession to keep the ball in, and they're really doing a good job of limiting their opponent's ability to put shots on target. So that kind of feeds into their 17 goals against record. They've been very good defensively in 2024. The Revs, in terms of play style, things have changed a little bit over time. They kind of started the season trying to play the way that Columbus has successfully played so far this year, which was, you know, a high possession style, lots of short and medium length passes, trying to build side to side and look for opportunities in behind to score. They did not have as much success at that as Columbus had. And in fact, their possession numbers are dropping over time. In terms of an interesting stat here, the Revs' points per game earned when they have 50% possession or above is 0.77 points per game. So less than 1 point per game, and that's, you know, generally considered pretty bad. 1 point per game is thought to be pretty bad. When they have 50% possession or less, so in games where the Revs have less of the ball, they are earning 1.5 points per game, which, again, not great, you know, certainly not elite, but much, much better. You know, part of that, of course, is maybe situational. If you look at a couple of the recent Revs wins against Cincinnati and against Nashville, right? They race out to a lead early, and then they kind of concede possession. They get a little bit more defensive, and they just try to absorb pressure. You know, so maybe higher or I guess lower possession totals in the second half of those games are, you know, playing an outsized effect. But even still, possession has not necessarily been something that has helped the Revs in 2024. Key players to watch, I think, for the Crew, it has to be Cucho Hernandez. If you look at the Opta analyst, they have a stat that's called attack contribution, which is a combination of non-penalty shots per 90 and open play chances created per 90. Cucho Hernandez's attack contribution value is 7.31. That's in the 99th percentile. Really, it should be the 100th percentile because that is the best number in the league and by a fair number. He's, you know, he's both good at creating shots for himself and he's also good at creating chances for his teammates around him. And there are plenty of good goal scoring options on this team. Just for a point of comparison, actually, and interestingly, the Revs' best player in terms of that attack contribution statistic is actually Tomas Csonkalai. But it should be noted that Cucho generates 71% more expected goals per 90 than Csonkalai and 389% more goals per 90 than Csonkalai. You know, a lot of that value for Csonkalai may be built into this idea where he tends to shoot earlier and maybe when he should make a pass. But you know, I think Csonkalai is in the top 20 in terms of that value. So that's the nearest comparator for the Revs in terms of that stat. Obviously, I cannot give I can't give Csonkalai as my player to watch for the Revs because he is injured. There's no, as of right now, timeline on that injury that I'm aware of. But I will say that my player to watch for New England is Aljaž Ivačič. I did a little write-up this week. You can go check it out at the Blazing Musket, where I talked about how Ivačič has performed in New England and how he's improved upon his play from, you know, last year. His goals against over expected goals against for the 2024 season, that's through eight starts for him, is 0.88. Another way to think of that is if he faces what would be a normally 100 goals for an average goalkeeper, he's allowing just 88 of those to go in. You know, so he's certainly doing better than the average goalkeeper in the league, and he's honestly doing better than any of the other goalkeepers on the Revs. If you look at goalkeepers with the Revolution since the 2020 season, of course, there is your Matt Turner's and your Georgi Petrovic's, who had very good goals against versus expected goals against values. Aljaž Ivačič is, so far, through eight games, the best Revs keeper with more than two games played since Petrovic left. So, you know, certainly great stuff from him so far. We'll need to see a lot more of it, of course. But he's going to need to show it again on Saturday because the crew will certainly be able to possess the ball very well. I don't have any concerns about them creating chances against the Revs, who still have a pretty big deficit in terms of their expected goals for and their expected goals against. So I expect he will be called into action pretty frequently in this game. And he's going to need to be up to the task if the Revs are to have any real chance at this one. I think that, as much as I would love to give this as a win for the Revs and ride the positivity of the last four games, I'm going to have a hard time picking against the Crew, who play some of probably the most attractive soccer in MLS, some of the most dominant soccer in MLS, even on the road. I can't pick against the Crew in this one. So we'll say this ends as maybe a close one. If the Revs can maybe, continue to outperform their expected goals in terms of shooting and scoring like they had the last couple of weeks, maybe they can grab a goal. I have a hard time seeing a world in which the Crew aren't able to create at least a couple goals worth of chances. And if they're able to convert those, it feels like it could end as 2-1 loss at home for the Revs. But I'll cross my fingers and we'll hope that I'm wrong about this one. If I'm wrong, don't come at me on Twitter. anyways, that's all I have. Thanks for tuning into this Revolution Precap. Hopefully you found this interesting and entertaining. And if you did, you can, feel free to let us know either on Twitter or, maybe leave a review of the podcast over on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. And, we'll keep these up. Thanks and go Revs.
All right, everyone, it's Seth Maycomber from the Blazing Musket. Happy to be joined once again by an Apple personality. This week, it's Devin Kerr. Devin, you saw the New England Revolution last week when they played to a victory, getting four straight wins for the first time since 2021. They're going to play, again, a tough opponent. They're going on the road. They're facing the Columbus Crew. This feels like a different New England Revolution side than we saw at the beginning of the year. From your perspective, what is different about this team?
Number one, bud, thanks for having me, dude. Appreciate the opportunity and having me on. Yeah, it was an interesting night for sure. And I think to answer the question directly, it's about belief, number one. Certainly that's probably an easy answer that people have heard before. But being in the locker room and being a part of a team that it's not going well, to find a way to maintain a vision that's going to promote some sort of positive outcome is almost impossible to do. To also do it when the manager's come in, and regardless of results now, he's changed everything. Like, I know we can talk about the growing pains at the beginning of the year, but to come in and for people that were there and, best record 2 years ago, to turn around and go, yeah, we're going to do it this way now. That's not the easiest thing to do. I've been a part of that as well. You want to look at the manager and go, piss off, right? So it takes time. And so time, belief, all that have stayed there. It certainly doesn't hurt as well that you just beat arguably one of the best teams this year and certainly the best team in MLS last year. I don't care what the personnel were available for FC Cincinnati. I think it was an incredible win, and I think they did it in such a variety of ways throughout the match in order to be able to accomplish that.
Yeah, Devin, I think about this stretch, and you can go back and you can put caveats in all of those, right? Nashville playing a midweek game before that victory. Other teams missing players like the Red Bulls, right? During that international break, so many players missing. Obviously facing FC Cincinnati without Matt Miazga, and then Hagelin goes down with an injury later on. But the fact of the matter is, you have to win those games. And you can also put caveats on what the Revolution have. You look at Tomas Čanko, looks like he's going to be out long-term for the New England Revolution. This past week, they're missing Dylan Barrero, and Dylan Barrero has been a game-changer since he joined this team. So when you look at these wins, you could look at the negative and say, well, they're doing this against weekend opponents or midweek opponents. But the fact of the matter is, they are doing it. So what do they have to continue to do in order to keep that streak going in order to get to five straight wins this weekend?
I agree with you. I'm very much a glass half full type person that you still have to go and get those results, right? I remember someone saying to me the next day when I was flying home, I was talking with another announcer and they were like, yeah, they beat Cincinnati, but, Cincinnati went down to 10 men and they didn't have Miles Robinson. And they didn't have Matt Miazga. And I'm like, yeah, they still got the reigning MVP. And they still have a really good goalkeeper. And they still have one of the best squads in terms of depth as well within the league. You still got to go on the road to TQL. And you still got to go get a result. There's a lot that goes into play there. And so almost like put some respect on it, right? To continue this, though, the level has to get better in terms of consistency. Caleb Porter would say the same thing. We haven't spoken to him for this weekend's match yet. We're actually talking tomorrow. But one of the biggest things that if you look at the results, I talked about Cincinnati, how the game was won in a variety of ways. That same argument rings true for all of these wins over this four-game stretch. But there have been extended windows of really good football. I think the best football I've seen out of the team all season long was the opening 45 minutes against Cincinnati. I thought the team was incredible. They had good energy. They pressed up high. They sat deep and absorbed a little bit. Most importantly, they were really aggressive through the midfield, which allowed the outside mids to pinch into the half space, and they got the outside backs high. That's getting everybody involved in the attack. That didn't happen in the second half. And so what I'm getting at that is yeah, you fought hard in one game. You dug in another. You played well here. You played well there. In order to continue this rise of the Eastern Conference, you've got to extend that level of consistency, 60, 75, 90 minutes, and find your special moments. Because, although, again, glass half full, if it was a full-sided Cincinnati, who's to say that those opportunities would have been as aplenty in the first half? Who's to say that they were able or were not able to finish? And all of a sudden, if the second half went the same way, would you have been able to withstand that sort of pressure? I believe in the process, and I mean that in the sense of the quality that we've seen out of the team. But to beat teams regularly, long-term, they've got to raise that level of consistency.
Yeah, Devin, I want to talk a little bit about that first half, second half, because that was an interesting discussion after the game, because it was very different, right? Yeah. The New England Revolution go up 2, and then they go into halftime, and there's a little bit different in terms of how they're playing, a little bit more defensive. I honestly look at that, again, as a glass half full type of person. And I think about, this is a team that needs a result so badly in a dangerous place. And they have a really thin roster at that point. And Caleb Porter talked about it on Tuesday. You know, when you look at attacking options, it's basically Jack Paniutu, who is playing down in the USL Championship, to bring on. So bringing on Jonathan Mensah, bringing on Brandon Bye, bringing on all these defensive options, it's a little dicey. It's a little dangerous at times. But maybe it's just like, this is what the team needed. They needed to say, hey, we have a result right now. We have to lock this down. So, you know, while I think a lot of people were really critical about putting that many defending players on, and that could go bad, you know, sometimes that goes wrong. But I was honestly thinking, like, a result here goes such a long way that maybe you have to just grind it out on a road in a difficult spot. So that doesn't worry me quite as much. Although I do agree with you, you have to make sure you put more consistent performances, because 45 minutes of defensive work isn't always going to work in MLS, right?
I'm with you. And the 10-man thing was a big one. I mean, think about it like this. Staying on the positive side of things, Cincinnati goes down to 10 men, and they sat and absorbed and allow Lucho to dictate the game for the final 20 minutes. You tempt fate at that point in time, right? I mean, there were a couple of opportunities as the game was coming forward. I'm like, here it comes. Here it comes. You just felt like that game time goal was coming. I think the only thing that I would be critical of in terms of the game itself, I agree with you. I mean, you can see it. The roster's thin. If you're Caleb Porter, you don't really have the ability to make changes that can go and be more aggressive on the attacking side. You could see that they were willing to absorb and try to be a little bit more direct. I just thought the energy level needed to be higher, so I wanted the changes about 10 minutes sooner. That's it. I liked the changes because when they came in, I thought they did inject some life into the squad that was having a difficult time because of momentum. The stadium was very loud. You know, I made a comment on the broadcast, and I think it was taken out of context inappropriately, in my opinion. I talked about the ref, and I talked about the ref for two reasons. Number one, that I didn't think that the ref was calling it inappropriate in favor of New England. I thought that he missed some fouls, A, against Cincinnati, but also the ref itself, the whistles, the rapidity of which they were coming in certain areas of the game really caused an issue to have a rhythm within the match. And I especially thought so in the second half, where if you're a team, regardless of the opposition being down to 10 and Lucho Acosta and all that stuff, if you're a team that's sitting there and it's like you defend, you defend, you defend, mentally and physically, it's so taxing. And then it's the whistle. And then the emotional side comes in with the ref. So then it starts to throw your game plan off a little bit. So that's what I was alluding to. And I think it caused frustration for players. I can tell you this, I would have been pissed. I mean, I would have been so angry if I was wearing a ref jersey and saw the game the way that it was going. It was very difficult to deal with as an announcer, and I wasn't running back and forth all over the place. They're going to fight in a similar fashion on the weekend, I would imagine, based upon what the availability is going to be for players. Now, we still don't have the availability report. Dylan Barrero is going to be a massive, massive, massive pickup if and only if they clear him. That's the big question. I do think that Columbus is in a very interesting stage because I think people look at that team and go, oh, they're coming off a 4-0 and this is one of the best teams in MLS. I'm all for that. But lightning in a bottle for Cucho up top just happened. He hasn't exactly been at top level. I witnessed this team 2 weeks ago against NYCFC on a Friday night look a shell of themselves and really struggle to find the back of the net. Now, they ran away at the end. I get it. But they weren't the Cincinnati, or the, excuse me, the Columbus of old. And I think the Aiden Morris loss within the midfield is a massive one. You know, replacing Aiden for a game is one thing, but to consistently find a partner for Darlington Nagbe is going to be a big one. They gave him his send-off. Now it's going to be a fun matchup on the weekend. Some of that energy is going to be gone. They're on the road. They're dealing with influx of games, just like the Revs. It'll be fun.
Yeah, and I was really thinking about...
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What Caleb Porter said after the last win against Cincinnati, and he talked about how this team is now going into games expecting to win. It's not as hoping to win as much. And that goes back to your mindset thing, right? When things are going bad, and we saw this even with the New England Revolution in 2022, they kept losing in every single way possible. Deflections off of one Revs player hitting into another Revs player back of the net, late goals that were happening. When things are going bad, there's momentum there. But when things are going good, there's positive momentum. And he also talked about this idea of Ivicic, who I think has been a very good addition for the New England Revolution. He's helping them win games, get results. Well, he comes over to Caleb Porter. He says, "We're effing winners, coach, and we're going to keep going." And that's the type of belief that you need to have, that you can go into anywhere and win those games. And to go back to what you said, I think that the Revolution start to understand their identity a little bit more. You look at a guy like Giacomo Veroni. He has 3 goals in the last 2 games. But more than that, I think they understand how to play off of Giacomo, like that he's not, you're able to use him as a number 9 and play off of him. He's drawing fouls. I believe he was the most fouled player in the last game with 5 fouls, if I'm remembering correctly. And I think it's just a better understanding of how to use that player. And then if he can start scoring goals, and I look back at those 2 goals against Cincinnati, in both those situations, there were players higher up the field drawing the center backs with them. And then Giacomo is able to kind of have a little bit of space to first hit a left-footed shot, which we know he's good at, and then a header, which we really haven't seen much of. He scores that one in Azteca, but a header, that was huge. So I'm just kind of wondering, where does Giacomo Veroni fit into this resurgent New England Revolution side?
Both goals against Cincinnati, carbon copies. I talked about it on air, the patterns of play, down into the corner, the cutback, whether it goes a little bit vertical or it's on the deck. It's exactly what you want. It's exactly what Caleb Porter wants. I would say that the growing pains to create those patterns have probably been, at least in my opinion, an under-talked about situation. Because, you know, I alluded to it earlier how a manager comes in and says, oh, I'm going to change all this up, right? That's as simple as, you know, what time we're going to train, okay? Who's going to run those training sessions? Who the captain's going to be, right? Off days, meals. I mean, all of these things start to come into play. But the way in which you play the game, respectfully, and I say this respectfully because I have the utmost respect for the previous regime, Caleb plays very different. Caleb wants to play, and he wants to play a lot more than what we've seen in previous years for the New England Revolution. Tendencies are built into players and certainly within guys that were in this dressing room that won the Supporters Shield a couple of years ago, right? So to take that type of mentality out of a team and say, no, we're not going to play this way. We're going to do it this way. It's not going to click overnight. And then as everybody knows this sort of rhetoric, the beginning of the season, you play 5,000 games in 5 days. And you don't have the ability to train those patterns. You're trying to change the mindset on the field of being a winner and challenging results when it's not going your way. But you're also trying to change the entire identity of a team. Once you start to get it, you see goals like you did against Cincinnati. To go a step further, you're going to see more opportunities because they are coming every single game. You can see it, right? Like even in the first half, I thought Ian Harkes was incredible in the midfield, the way that he stretched box to box when he came high with his pressure. And you got Baratarevich on the right-hand side on that half channel that I talked about, right? Same conversation on the left. You bring them narrow. Tawan Jones had a field day up and down the left-hand side. You got reciprocation on the right flank. All of a sudden, it's not one striker up top of Vrioni that everybody's looking to mark. No matter who's on that back line for Cincinnati, you're looking at five or six different options approaching the box, top of the 18, right around the six, challenging you in a variety of ways. And this is how you find success. But you asked me earlier, how do they maintain it? 100% still sit with the fact that it is consistency over a longer period of time within a game. But to go to your point about Vrioni, goals are everything. Goals specifically from the nine. I have an interesting little stat. I actually looked it up for that Columbus Crew and NYCFC game, but I'm going to utilize it within this game as well, and I'll share it with you guys. Since 2008, the last 16 years, there is not a single team that has won MLS Cup without at least one striker, 10 goals or more. 10 goals doesn't sound like that much, right? 34 games. If you go all the way to MLS Cup, all of a sudden you're pushing 437. You only need 10. And yet every single team has produced at least one. There have been really, really good teams throughout that time frame that have played incredible football that haven't been able to do so. The last team that couldn't do it was 2008. It was Columbus Crew and is led by Ali Moreno up in the nine. Other teams have had two and three for sure. Vrioni goals, his presence, getting him to chase a little bit more in pressure is everything. The revitalization of this team in the final third and success moving forward.
Yeah, you talk about that. And I think about two guys stepping up to become threats. I mean, we talk about Dylan Barrero unavailable in the last game. We'll see what happens. We'll probably get an update tomorrow regarding Dylan Barrero. But he has two goals in the since his return, and he's that stretching threat, right? You know, Carlos Hill is able to have a pass, but he's also able to shoot. You know, he's scored a lot of goals this year. Giacomo Vrioni on 5 goals this season. And even someone like Esmir Baratarevich going in last week, he had goals in back-to-back games. So there's a little bit more of a threat. And I love that you mentioned Juwan Jones because he's getting into attack more than he was beginning of this year. I think that what you said that's really important for people to understand is how difficult it's going to be to bring someone in. And when you have so many games earlier this season, it's hard to get that you know, mojo, hard to get that rhythm happening. And I talked to Caleb Porter a couple of weeks ago, and he said, I probably underestimated coming into this job, how long it's going to take. And he said exactly what you said. There's so many things that are different. He said, that doesn't mean what was happening before was wrong. It just means I'm trying to bring something in, and it's going to take a little bit of time. And I think that you see that now. I think the way they play the beginning of the year, some people were saying, oh, this team is too slow. They're just playing keep away. And that, I don't think that's what he wanted necessarily, because why would any coach say, guys, just pass it along the back line for 20 minutes and let's see what happens? It's no, pass it along the back line so you can find that moment of penetration. Well, now they're able to do that. Now they're able to see those patterns of play more. So I think what we're seeing right now is closer to what Caleb Porter envisioned, with more transitions, getting the ball up in certain ways. The press, I think, was really important. I thought the press was really, really good against a team like Cincinnati. So I think this is closer to what it envisions, but that's just going to take time to get there.
Yeah, I also wonder long-term, you know, specifically when this transfer window opens in what, about 2.5 weeks or so. I'm not curious as to what they're going to get. I'm curious as to how many. You know, if you look at the team itself, you know, certainly Brandon Bae coming back in. I mean, just being available on the roster itself was super, super cool, yet alone the fact that in that game he got some minutes, right? I thought that was a really, really fun moment for him. DeJuan Jones playing another level. I know I referenced it. You then brought it back again. Him getting up and down in the attack is important for sure, but it also takes pressure on the width of the field, and it allows you to have more support on the interior, whether you're fully inverting an outside midfielder. If you want to bring in the modern game, as we see so many times, an outside back and let him plump in a little bit to support the sixes and eights in the builds, it just gives you that added luxury. But I'm curious, if they go and get someone for the back line, number one, I don't think Caleb Porter is overly in love with the option next to Arriaga right now, whether it be Dame Romney, whether it be Henry Kessler. And I love Kessler. I think he's great. I think he's done really well for himself. And certainly there have been injuries and conversations in these stretches for four, but you know, he was very clear to us that it was situational and it was going to be streaky for those two, who was going to be paired next to Arriaga. When I hear something like that, my words, not Caleb's, I hear things like, I'm not overly invested in this specific situation right now. So maybe he chases a center back pairing. Certainly you've got depth on the outside, so that's not necessarily an issue. A compliment within the midfield, maybe. Who knows the future of Noah Buck and what that's going to be, right? Also, he hasn't been overly consistent in his performances either. Caleb said that he felt that his best performance was the Vancouver game, specifically in the start. And I would say the same thing, like coming off the bench against Cincinnati, I thought he did okay, right? The game presented a variety of challenges that for him to be that influential, very difficult to do so. So it's hard to put that much responsibility on him. So maybe someone within the midfield and then up top. You know, Vrioni, I think we could all probably agree, regardless of what Caleb Porter's team was going to look like this season, the nine was probably the biggest question mark as to whether or not you could get goals from there. And probably is still the conversation right now. Even though he marked, does he do it next game against Columbus? Can he do it after that? Can he do it after that? The stretch of games right now is very difficult for the New England Revolution. And so I don't think that they're going to go get one player. I'm just curious as to whether or not they're going to go get three. You know, do they try and get two high-profile pieces and bring one in? Again, you talked about all the injuries, some of which are going to be season-long. That's a really difficult thing to manage.
Yeah, I've asked Caleb Porter a few times about the transfer window. Earlier this year, he was saying 3 to 5. Most recently, about 2 weeks ago, he said we're probably looking at 2 or 3. Part of that has to do with after the primary window closed, he said that we were up against the cap. That basically we were selling like international slots in order to make space, in order to bring in some players. And they came very close on a defensive midfielder, a little bit of an injury there. So they did not get that one over the finish line because they decided to not make that transfer. But he did mention this idea that we have plans for the next few transfer windows, that we maybe can't do everything in one transfer window, but slowly we'll try to bring in some pieces. I think the back line's interesting to talk about. Arriaga, to me, has changed the way this team plays because he's able to beat players with his dribble. And it was interesting talking to him, saying that up until my U13 coach moved me to back line, I was a striker. He says that when we play 5v5, you know, during practice, I get to be a striker again. But you see that, right? That ability to dribble, like he's literally putting guys on the ground every single game. I mean, how many center backs do you see that?
That's all of us, by the way. All of us center backs started at one point in time as the face of a team and we lit it up. Let me tell you. Scored 14 goals in a game when I was 8 years old, right? And then as you get older, it's kind of like, go play the 10. You know what? Go stand at the end of the 6. You know what, Devin? Why don't you go stand on the back line? But I do feel that, and you nailed it right in the head, the vision for players like that, you see the game the best. You've got the best view of the field outside of the goalkeeper, unless you're standing up top with us in the press box. It's that simple. You see and control so much of the field. And while there are certainly guys throughout their career that start off as defenders, make a hell of a career out of it. Other guys that start off as center backs on the interior and they continue and they go pro and all that. To me, the best ones have always come from somewhere else on the field, right? Van Dijk is a good example of that. A guy that started off as a 10 as well, who then moved into the six and now drops onto the back line as he's gotten older. So the way that you see the game, the way that he sees the game, I agree with you on the aggression. I would also say it's the ability to step on the ball and hold still because of the directivity of play of this team in certain areas in previous years, combining with Caleb's system to have that ebb and flow of, okay, now we go, or we've won it, let's keep it. Now is not the time to necessarily go. Move it to the outside, move it along the back line. That takes the smarts of a center back as well. I really struggled with that as a player when I was moving from high school to the collegiate level. And it's something that a lot of center backs do because you're so used to playing one way and you're so used to being so much better than everybody else that when things start to change, to basically check yourself at the door, it's your attitude, your mentality, and the playing style of you don't have to push that every single time, right? That's something that Cincinnati does. And I think the Revs have created really good balance within that, especially because of the way some of these teams have played. I mentioned the aggression of Ian Harkes. Matt Polster covered so much ground defensively, but what if he wasn't there within that match and he was caught out of position a little bit? Well, then they're going to be in trouble if Arriaga steps off the back line. He's got no one to link up to. Even if he beats that initial line of pressure, there's a gaping hole in front of him and a massive one behind. One turnover and you're in trouble going the other direction. So I think the equilibrium that he's created, both aggression and being defensive-minded as calm, has been incredible for this squad.
Yeah, especially because the last images we had of him with Seattle, right, is dribbling into that Vancouver defender and causing a goal in that situation. But I think he's been really good for the Revolution. Same thing with Ivicic. Is like, these guys aren't going to have 100% passing accuracy. That's not really possible, especially for a goalkeeper, because you're going to pump it long. But time and time again, I've seen both of those players just sit on the ball for a moment. And that requires the opponent to make a decision. Are we going to go press this individual or are we going to sit back? Well, if we're going to press this individual, it opens up some gaps for other places. And I went back and watched some early season games. And when Arriaga wasn't there, when Ivicic wasn't there, it was sometimes too panicky along the back line. Like they're moving it back and forth. No one's sitting on the ball. No one really feels that confident to make that forward pass because there was a fear of sometimes losing the ball. And we saw that a lot. They lost the ball. They transitioned quickly. And the opponent, you know, either scored, created a corner kick, created a bad opportunity for the Revs. So it was just a little bit different of the play. And I think that that's where you talk about the partner there. When you look at, you know, Dave Romney, really good ball winner, really steady back there, naturally left-footed. But he's not hitting the same line passing, line splitting passes that Arriaga is playing. When you look at Kessler, solid player as well, not naturally left footed, but he was playing a little more of those balls. And that's maybe why you saw him being preferred at one point. So maybe at some point we do see a center back. I do think the center midfield is interesting. In my opinion, I would go with Harkes and Polster. I think Harkes really sees space well, but maybe at some point you bring in another piece there. On the outside, you probably need help at this point at the winger position. I would really think about if that U22 rule pass, bring in a U22 winger, someone that's young, creative. And then up top, I think you're right, because Bobby Wood, you know, with that chronic knee issue and other issues he's having, you need at least someone, because coming up last Saturday, it was a stretch of 7 games in 28 days before League's Cup. Like this New England Revolution team has a lot of games coming up. And the only option they have up top right now is Veroni.
But also say, and just one thing, and here's where the roster becomes very difficult to manage is, and you talked about the cap before, right? I'm with you right now in terms of the depth on the wing. The problem is they have depth. They're just not healthy. So it's like, right, you have Tomas Tronkolai, who's more than capable, certainly, right? I talked about depth in the back line. Ryan Spalding is available in that conversation. Within the midfield, Tommy McNamara. Of course, Nacho Heal and his unavailability because of injury. So it's, okay, if we're going to go a direction, what is best for us long-term? Because it's easy for us to sit here and say, you need help here now. The roster doesn't work that way, though, right? You have to be able to manage it long-term. The unpredictability within the team's play, going to Ivicic here for a second, is, I think, certainly noted. You know, you talk about the confidence of the team and what they've been able to build. This is a guy who is gone and forgotten in Portland, truly. Like, Maxime Crépeau, I get it. I don't blame them for chasing him and everything that he did for LAFC. I've seen that kid play since he was 15 years old. incredible to watch the continued growth, both domestically and internationally. But Ivicic was the guy. And to go that quickly, literally a snap of the fingers from being the number one, having all that confidence to go sit your butt on the pine, to go from that and then come into a team and, at least in my opinion, have such a high level of play in every aspect of his game. Everybody talks about the patterns of play. I'm the one that does it as well. I'm guilty of it. Getting a goalkeeper to have that type of confidence is almost as difficult of bringing a nine in and having him maintain that type of confidence. I'd argue that the nine's a little bit more difficult just because of how he's trying to figure out the movements of the other nine behind him. Obviously, I'm not including the goalkeeper, but the goalkeeper is right there. I'm not really sure, like, the Vrioni thing you talk, agree in the midfield, okay? Harks and Pulser right now, for sure. Harks technically and consistently, to me, is better than Nolbach right now. That's not a talent thing. That's not long-term. That's right here and now. That conversation and narrative can certainly change in the next 3 games or 3 months. Those three, for me, are certainly the best grouping right now. But with all of those games that you talked about, now comes the consistency factor and the rotation of players and the injury and stuff. I think the 4-game win streak is great. I think the ability to maintain it is going to be very difficult. That's not saying that I don't think they're capable of it. I just think it's going to be very difficult. You're just coming off the Vancouver game. Not so bad. You're also coming off, just coming off Cincinnati game, Vancouver just in front of it. Now you've got the Columbus crew. To me, it's that next stretch of 4 games. Just for points. Wins are great, but you've got, after crew, Atlanta, who is chasing ghosts at this point in time, and the pending sale of Thiago Almada for $20 million to the Eagle Group, they could real quickly lose their 9 and their 10. They just lost their coach as well. Real good opportunity for points. Seattle Sounders, boom. Orlando City, I have them this weekend as well. They are leaking left and right, struggling. And the Philadelphia Union. This next stretch of 4 games, as critical as everybody has been on the New England Revolution, when you combine roster build, the current momentum, and the availability to continue that, this next 4 for me is everything. Because the level of difficulty on the backside of it gets even higher of League's Cup, of then the possibility of a layoff and no games whatsoever, and trying to work those new players, whomever in the transfer market is, into a team that's not playing. So get the next 4, you get points heading into the League's Cup, you move yourself up the table, and you give yourself real confidence headed into a knockout tournament that can help extend the season.
Yeah, Devin, it's fascinating that we are at this point that we're talking about possibility of New England Revolution being in the playoffs, considering they started off with that 2-10-1 record. Devin, you are great at everything you do. We see you all over the television. Thank you so much for giving us time today.
Much love, Seth. Have me any single time. By the way, my first time calling a game at Gillette. I'm super stoked. My wife is a huge Pats fan, been up to the area, but I've never called a game there.
Wow. Well, welcome to the area. We look forward to having you up here this weekend on Saturday.
Cheers, brother. All the best.
Thanks again to Devin Kerr for joining us today. And also thank you to Seth and Andy for helping produce this episode. Remember to check out our sponsor, BetOnline, and use promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. We'll be back with a full episode following this weekend's game at Columbus. But until then, thank you everyone for listening, and go Revs.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on.
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
your small business is booming and ready to expand, you might say something like,
"It's happening!
Booyah!
Yeah!"
Crushed it. But if you need someone who can actually help protect your growing business, just say,
"Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there."
And just like that, your State Farm agent can help you get the coverage you need for your new space. For your small business insurance needs, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.